the elections, the general elections. We have just had as members, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, a short meeting earlier in the day where we were just electing the chairperson. I was just elected 30 minutes ago, so I'm quite brand new. I hope we are not that brand new yourselves, because we've been in office for some weeks already. And I know that I know some of the colleagues from previous lives and so on. The agenda of this meeting, I've requested that they circulate the agenda of this meeting, but we're going to be serving six items. The first one will be opening and welcome. In the opening and welcome, I'll also expect, among other things, just to have the members introducing themselves formally, and thereafter it will be yourself, Honorable Minister, and your delegation, so that we almost know who's here. We'll take the briefing from the department. After taking the briefing from the department of 2019-2020 financial year, we'll then take a presentation and a briefing from IEC in terms of the program that is government printing works, but we'll prioritize IEC because they have requested that they have other engagement elsewhere other than this meeting. Then from there we'll take a briefing and a presentation from government printing works. From there it will be item number 6 will be closed. After taking a briefing, I think we'll allow members to interact, ask questions and comments as we go forward with the presentation. I should say this, that members, this is in preparation to what we call the budget debate that will be taking place on the 10th. So you are welcome in our first meeting. We have taken a commitment, members and Honorable Minister earlier, that now that we have been elected, we will try to do what we have signed with the Chief Justice of the Republic, that is to uphold the Constitution of the Republic and act without fear or favor in terms of conducting the oversight that we are expected to conduct as Parliament. We are meeting indeed at a time when there are a lot of developments in the country. Among others is the Zondo Commission. The Zondo Commission has at some stage requested that Parliament, as an oversight body, must provide certain information and must make sure that it must be investigated whether it did provide oversight to a level that it is expected by both citizens and the Constitution. So as we begin this sixth Parliament, we will be very rigorous in terms of ensuring that we provide oversight, so much so that no any other organ of state question the manner in which we provide oversight. We need to provide oversight that will be both in the interest of citizens and in the interest of the Constitution and the oath that we have signed for. With those few words, I'll start from here. Members who are here to introduce themselves and where that they are coming from. But my expectation as the chairperson is that we come from various political parties as members. But when we get into the committee and when we get into Parliament, we don't carry in the main our party political tickets. We carry what we have signed for as the oath, and we carry what is the interest of the citizens of South Africa. So we'll expect from time to time that as we collectively lead the committee, we are able to show that we are a collective we're a collective group of a committee that is expected to give direction to issues that relate to home affairs, but not to show party political issues from time to time, although there may be party positions. But as a committee, we must be able to act and be above party political issues and act in the interest of this committee and in the interest of Parliament, so that we can take introductions from here or from members. Over to you.
Kobudile Richard Janji, alternate member of the committee.
Morning, my name is Musa Chaban, member of the committee.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much for the leadership you are giving us. My name is Fanny Fendricks of the LGMR Party. I'm an alternate member on the committee.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to the department, the minister, and our newly elected chair. I'm Liesel van der Merwe, and I'm also a member of this portfolio committee.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Adrian Ruiz. I'm an alternate member.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. Minister, my name is Joe Meglua. I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. I am Angel Kanyile. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Lorato Tito. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
Wiyali Pambo from the EFF.
Thank you, members. Before I give it over to you, Honorable Minister, the table staff can introduce itself.
Good morning. My name is Edma Tonsi. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning. Adam Salmon, content advisor. I provide strategic support to the committee.
Good morning. Nandipa Makwakwana, committee assistant.
Is that all?
Good morning. I'm Malato Mlepo, provide communication support.
Thank you, and you are all welcome. Members of the media, we are present. We appreciate your continued presence in our meetings, and we feel that you are the most important part in terms of conveying the information to our people and to our stakeholders. And we always appreciate your presence. Over to you, Minister, and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee. And, let me take this opportunity, Chairperson, to congratulate you for your new appointment of coming to lead this committee. We are really hoping to work very well with this committee to resolve the myriad of problems that the Department of Home Affairs is faced with. But let me just do introductions first before, I'm sure I'll be given a chance just before the presentation to say a few words. With me is the Deputy Minister, but rather let me leave everybody to introduce themselves, but just to inform the committee that unfortunately we do not have the Director General of the Department who is overseas. He's visiting three countries to try and deal with the problems of visas of people who want to enter the country. So we have got an acting DG who will also introduce himself and the rest of the staff. And I'm sure because we also have two other entities, the Government Printing Works and the IEC, which I'm embarrassed to meet here for the first time. I'm sure they'll forgive me. the government printing works, I visited them for the whole day. I know what's happening, but I never got a chance. Though, Chairperson, you are 30 minutes old. I'm also about 4 weeks old, and so I still have a lot of gaps in some of the areas I must visit. So I'm meeting IEC for the first time, but I'm sure they'll introduce themselves. Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson Advocate Pipongo. My name is Njabulo Beganzuza, Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of the Committee. My name is Jackson McKay. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for Immigration Services with the Department of Home Affairs. I am currently acting as the Director General, whilst, as Minister has explained, our Director General is abroad. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Chair and Members. I'm Frank Makua, PLO to the Ministry.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Kaya Gazidasi. I work north of the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. Rion Peel from Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chair and
what are you doing in Home Affairs? I would like all the officials to do so. That's what the committee wants to know. They are aware that we are all from Home Affairs anyway.
Okay.
But you must tell them what we're doing.
Yes, sorry, Minister. I'm from the planning unit in Home Affairs. So we deal with the APPs.
Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Thomas Sigama. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General responsible for Civics Matters in the Department of Home Affairs. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Nkidi Mohoboko. I am the Deputy Director General responsible for Human Resource Management and Development in the Department. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Members. My name is Vugani Nglasana. I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for Finance and Supply Chain Management. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Luvuyo Pondana, dealing with Parliamentary and Cabinet support of the TG.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Anele Apleni. I'm the Chief Information Officer. I'm responsible for Information Communication Technology at GPW. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Michelle Modise. I'm the GM Human Resources for Government Printing Works. Thank you.
Yes, Andres Sibanyoni, Director responsible for strategic support at Government Printing Works. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Josephine Meyer. I'm the CFO and Acting CEO for Government Printing Works.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Kubendra Mudli. I'm the Chief Director of in Operations and Production Branch in the Government Printing Works.
Morning, Honourable Chair. Name is Glenn Mashinini, Chairperson of the Electoral Commission of South Africa, and I'm here with our team. Commissioner.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Musoto Mwepia. I'm a member of the Commission at the Electoral Commission of South Africa.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Akhtri Henning. I'm the Deputy Chief Electoral Officer at the IEC, responsible for corporate services.
Good morning, Chair. The name is Andile Don Bata, CFO of the IEC.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Esther DeWitt. I'm the Manager, Budgets and Compliance at the IEC.
Good morning. My name is Masego Shiburi. I'm the Deputy Chief Electoral Officer responsible for Electoral Operations. I also have the displeasure of leading the administrative delegation in the absence of the Chief Electoral Officer, Mr. Simon Mabor.
Yes. Good morning, Honorable Chair and other members. My name is Siya Koza. I'm in the Ministry of Home Affairs as the spokesperson. Thank you.
Are we done? If we're done, okay.
Good morning. My name is Jerome Marke, a member of this committee.
Morning, Chair and Honorable Members. Sehle Mtshane, Acting Chief Director of Policy, Home Affairs.
Good morning, my name is Tidimalolo Khwase, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, once more, and Honorable Members of the Committee. I realize that you have got a lot of work in front of you, seeing that Home Affairs have got three very huge sections: the Home Affairs Department itself, the Electoral Commission, and the Government Printing Works, all of which are going to be reporting to you today. So I wouldn't like to waste time. I'm going to allow the acting DG, DJ Kimeke, to make a presentation. But before that, I just want to make a few remarks. I'm sure you are aware, but because many of you are new here, we would like to make things a little bit simpler. The main Department of Home Affairs, away from the Government Printing Works at the IEC, has got two main arms which it has to deal with. The biggest of them all is the civic arm. The civic is about me and you. It's about the citizens, who is born where and when and by whom. You know, taking your ID, getting married, passing out of this world to the nether world, all of them have to be done by Home Affairs. That's the civic section. The other arm of Home Affairs, of course, is immigration and visit. That deals with people who come to this country, and I'm sure everybody, when we talk about that, will just think about people who are undocumented, but that is the immigration arm dealing with asylum seekers and people who are looking for refugees, you know, and people who want permanent residence, people who want citizenship. So these are the two broad arms. When the DDGs introduce themselves, you realize that is according to those two arms. The unfortunate problem in Home Affairs, which I want you to know up front, is that we have somehow turned into some form of Hollywood. Almost half of the officials who came here, I'm sure you heard when they are introducing themselves, they are acting. You are aware that the department doesn't have a DG. The DG who left towards the end of last year. So the current acting DG is a DDG in one of the sections, but is acting as a DG. That's the one who has gone overseas. But I want to explain that there are four acting positions of DDGs because of that. The first one in civic services, which is held by Mr. Sigama there, who is a chief director but is an acting DG of civic services. Interviews have been conducted, everything has been done and finalized. What is left is submitted to cabinet to make the appointment. They could not do so because it was overtaken by elections, so it remains like that. The second, the two other DDGs, unfortunately, I'm informed that interviews have taken place no less than three times, but nobody was found suitable
they are still searching. That is the DDG for Information Services and the Counter-Corruption and Security Services, which are very important. They've tried to search around, but so we are intending to go and do a head hunting. The last one, Institutional Planning and Support, cannot be filled because the present acting DG belongs to that post. Only after the DG issue has been resolved, we can see what we do with this one. So that's why you are going to hear about four acting positions, and I'm trying to explain how they actually come about. Now, without wasting any time, I would like to allow the acting DG, what I would rather do rather than give a long speech is that time and again, if I think there's an area where I need to expand further, I'll interject him and expand exactly what it meant. So let me allow him. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Chairperson, I forgot to ask. As I said, you have got three entities that must report today. I'm not sure how much time are we given so that we're able to see if the DG is too slow or what. This first presentation by the main Department of Home Affairs, how long do we have?
Yeah, thanks, Minister. You have 30 minutes for the whole presentation. I've seen the presentation, but it has about 91 slides, and it was indeed circulated. So we want you to focus on the areas that are very important for the purpose of this meeting. So we have 30 minutes to deliver that presentation. After 30 minutes, we'll obviously do an assessment whether we can give more time.
In that case, then I'll say the acting DG must start on slide 8 and take 30 seconds for each slide or less. Don't try to explain lots of things. They say they've already gone through it. Just mention what that page is all about, what the page is trying to say, rather than go through. Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Minister. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, this is the footprint that the department has. This is the footprint that the department has, meaning the number of offices and service delivery channels that we have. The number of offices that Home Affairs has is 412. 164 of them are situated in the urban areas and 248 in the rural areas. Of this, 193 of them are what we call our modernized offices. Those are offices where we do applications for passports and IDs on our live capture platform. In this case over here, 81 of them are in the rural areas and 112 of them are situated in the urban areas. We also have banks that serve as service points for Home Affairs, and citizens are able to apply for IDs and passports at 14 of these banks. 13 of them are situated in Gauteng, one of them in the Western Cape. We also have health facilities that are equipped for birth and death registration. There are 391 of them. At these hospitals or health facilities is where we do the early registration or the registration of birth. Wholly inadequate at 391. We hope to push this up in the coming year. In the urban area, we have 203 of these health facilities that are equipped for birth and death registration and 188 in the rural areas. We have 72 designated ports of entry. We are represented at 30 missions abroad, South African embassies abroad and high commissions abroad. We have five refugee centers, the Desmond Tutu Refugee Center in Gauteng, the Durban Refugee Reception Center, Cape Town Refugee Reception Center, as well as the Eastern Cape Reception Center, and then we have one in Limpopo. How can I forget the name now? In Musina Reception Center.
Yeah. Just to explain a few things about those numbers, Chairperson, without belaboring the point. As Mr. McKay is saying, Home Affairs have got 412 offices where you can go in for civic matters, for your ID, birth certificate, death certificate, etc. Now, the 193, which he said are modern or leave capture offices, are very highly advanced. You can do it online, you can do everything. That's where we issued the smart ID. I'm sure you are aware that the Department of Home Affairs decided in 2013 to do away with the ID that you are having, the one that is called the green barcoded ID. We are phasing it out, coming up with a smart ID. Now, that smart ID is very sophisticated. It's very difficult, if not impossible, to forge it. Up to so far, we have never come across anybody who could forge that one. Now, it can't be issued in every office because it needs special equipment. So only 193 offices can deal with it. We've got 38 million South Africans of my age and your age here who need to move over to the new ID. We've only issued 15 million. We're still left with 35 because the 193 offices are only able to deal with 3 million IDs per, 3 million smart IDs per annum. So we still have a long way, meaning we need to increase the offices if we are going to finish the job. Added to that, remember, any young person who turns 16 has to get an ID. So we have to clear the backlog of old people like me and yourselves here, but who have already got green ID, but also put in new ones. And in all of those, we have got the capacity of 3 million. Now, the banks, the reason that the banks are coming in, the banks in South Africa, they like this smart ID because they believe it's going to save them a lot of money, because they say they lose about 50 million rand to identity fraud every year. And I'm not sure whether the 50 million is per bank or the whole banking sector, but there's a 50 million which they lose there. And with the smart ID, that figure reduces dramatically because you can't defraud it, you can't impersonate, you can't do any wrong business with it. So for that reason, the banks want to help to issue. In other words, they want to open areas where you can get this smart ID. Now, the good thing about the banks, you don't even have to go there. You don't have to go start there. You can sit at home, do it online. When they are ready, they call you to take your biometrics, and they send them to the government printing works here behind me, and they print your smart ID. And we'll encourage all the people who have got bank accounts not to go to Home Affairs offices and queue there, to go to the banks. Unfortunately, as it's shown, only 13 branches of banks in Gauteng are able to do that, and only one in the Western Cape. This financial year, we're going to add 29 more branches, and from April next year, we'll add 70. So people who have got bank accounts don't have to go to Home Affairs and queue when they want these services. You just go to a bank and you get them. So I'm sure it might come later, but I thought it's important to summarize it here. The other one I want to explain are the 72 ports of entry, because I know it's a big issue about immigration, 72 ports of entry. 53 of them are land ports of entry. That means we have got 53 official entry points where people can visit South Africa through the land. 11 of them are airports, international airports, and 9 of them are through the sea. I'm mentioning that because part of our APP is going to be how we improve them, because they definitely need to be improved. Thank you very much. Okay, go on.
Thank you, Minister. We also have a repatriation center, or commonly known as Lindela, where we do our repatriation or deportation of illegal foreigners from South Africa. And we have premium visa and permit centers where four of them where foreigners can apply for work visas and business visas within South Africa. If we have a look at our organizational performance, Honorable Chairperson, over the years from 2012 to 2018, the House will note that we have progressively improved in terms of our targets, achieving our targets over the years. From 2012, where we had a 25% achievement, to 2018, where we had in 2017-18, where we had an 86% achievement, with a slight drop to 77% during the 2018-19 financial year, the last financial year. The last financial year, Chairperson, I have to say, it's unaudited. We are still waiting for the auditor to audit the results for 2018-19. The main reasons for the improvement of the organizational performance since 2012 can be attributed to improved governance, with monitoring and internal control practices. The planning is outcomes focused with the emphasis on our strategic priorities. We are now cascading our strategy throughout the organization. We have developed a clear planning and monitoring and evaluation guidelines. We have improved governance practices, such as the formation of a planning and performance-related structures. There's increased emphasis on the importance of integrated planning to identify and address key dependencies and risks. And we have intensified the monitoring of progress in achieving our targets. Chairperson, I'll move over to our annual performance plan for 1920 to 21-22 financial years. The key developments in government, the factors which we considered when we did our strategic planning was key developments in government with specific impact on the Department of Home Affairs. Example, the progress reports from the 2014 to 2019 MTSF period and lessons learned, our new election manifesto, and other priorities such as sustainable development goals, the announcement of an economic stimulus package by the President in September 2018, the 2019 State of the Nation address, the 25-year review, as well as the National Development Plan and the new MTSF, draft MTFS framework. We also use results from audits conducted by the AG, the Home Affairs Internal Audit, DPME, and the MPET. And we also look at the current global and domestic economic outlook, especially issues such as the restrictive compensation of employees' baseline and cuts in goods and services allocations. We address key dependencies on service providers impacting on strategy and operations and the need for extensive and regular consultation and collaboration with stakeholders. We have also included the impact of the white paper on home affairs that will form an integral part of the Home Affairs strategy going forward and the development of a new strategic plan. Chairperson, I will speak to our proposed policy framework or our proposed or approved mandates for 2018-19. The first mandate is the management of citizenship and civic status. Home Affairs has the mandate to manage international migration. It also has a mandate for refugee protection, and it has the responsibility to maintain the population register. That would be the population register that would include both foreigners as well as citizens, everybody that is in the country. The value statement, the Department of Home Affairs is committed to being people-centered and caring. I'm sure that the members have read this. The outcome one, I'm on slide 25, outcome one of the DHA outcomes is that citizenship and civic status are efficiently and securely managed to fulfill constitutional and international obligations. The second outcome of the Department of Home Affairs is that international migration is securely managed in South Africa's interest and to fulfill international commitments. The third outcome is that asylum seekers and refugees are efficiently and humanely managed in compliance with domestic and international obligations. Outcome four is that the population register is securely and efficiently managed to empower citizens and enable inclusivity, economic development, and national security. We also have cross-cutting outcomes. Home Affairs plays an active part in national security within its mandate and as part of the security system of the state. And the other one is, outcome six, is that Home Affairs enables a capable and developmental state and inclusive development through the efficient and secure delivery of its mandate. I will now move to our priorities. Chairperson, our priorities for the MTSF period 2014 to 2019 was one, that the BMA be established by 2017-18. Chairperson?
Yes, Chairperson, the BMA is the Border Management Authority. You are aware that there's a big outcry that South Africa's borders are porous, and the government decided in 2013 to establish a Border Management Authority, because at the moment our borders are managed by seven entities or seven departments. It's Home Affairs, it's the Army, it's South African Police Services, it's Agriculture, it's Health, it's Environment, and
intelligence
Services. All of them with different command structures and different way of working. Between them, between the seven, they must apply 58 pieces of legislation from Parliament, which is very complex. So the Border Management Authority is going to put that into one big authority. And unfortunately, the bill has been passed by the National Assembly. It has been stuck in the NCOP for the past 2 years because there were some differences, but we found ourselves, and we are going to to release it from the NCOP so that it gets passed and we establish the Border Management Authority. It was supposed to have been established by the financial year 2017-18. As you see, it has passed because it was stuck in the NCOP. So it's a very, very important piece of legislation, a very important development of how to deal with our border, so that anybody who comes to country can be accounted for. In that they will be documented right from the time they enter. So that's that, and thank you.
Thank you, Minister. The second priority was the integrated border management strategy implemented by 2018-19. The strategy has been achieved. We have achieved this early birth registration. We needed to have registered 810,000 births. This was achieved. The national identity system operational. This, Honorable Chairperson, has not been achieved. This is the new system that will form the platform on which all Home Affairs systems will run. They will be integrated, and it would be able to tell us give us a profile of everybody that's in the country, both citizen as well as non-citizen. We have 100% of ports of entry equipped with biometrics. We have about between three and five ports that are still outstanding here, Chairperson, that have not been equipped with biometrics, and we hope that that will be done in this financial year. The immigration refugee bills in support of the white paper on international migration, these bills are still in the process of formulation and will be concluded in this financial year. 85% of critical skills visas adjudicated within 4 weeks. This has been achieved. We have also established three premium visa centers, and the Home Affairs Contact Center has been established. With regard to the ministerial priorities, is the establishment of an effective BMA, completing the modernization program for the Department of Home Affairs, a comprehensive review of the immigration policy which was done and resulted in the white paper, the upgrade of 6 land ports of entry. Chairperson, these 6 land ports of entry are Beitbridge, Oshuk, Maseru, Ficksburg, Kopfontein, and Libombo. We are going to refurbish completely those ports of entry so that they allow movement of goods and people facilitated and much more efficient way that would assist as well or contribute to our economic development, not only of the country but of the region as well. We took our priorities as well from the pronouncements made by the President during his SONA 2019, where he spoke about a world-class e-visa regime that the Department of Home Affairs is in the process of designing, the strengthening of the capacity of the state, as well as the national general elections of the 8th of May 2019, in which the Department of Home Affairs played a key role. Chairperson, government issued a mandate paper in 2018, which is being used by the Department of Treasury to be able to push resources into those priorities that have been identified by government. The priorities relevant to the Department of Home Affairs is an effective identity system for citizens and visitors needs to be prioritized. The Home Affairs Population Register and the electronic and card identification to include all citizens and be of the highest integrity. We needed to improve or improved operational and information systems to help fight crime and corruption, but also government efficiency generally. There are huge opportunities of efficiency gains and improving services to the public by integrating the ID system and other systems, offering individual services such as driving license, social grants, NSFAS, and housing subsidies. These opportunities must be investigated and a plan for the progressive integration of the systems be developed for implementation over the medium term. It also states that the unique identity number received at birth must be used to track and ensure receipt of all social protection goods and public services by government, but also linked to the criminal justice system to root out criminals. Home Affairs identification system must inform the information infrastructure of government service delivery, and physical services service delivery must be extended and be made accessible through cooperation between departments. An integrated national identity system is a core component in the fight against corruption and economic crimes. And the ninth one, Honorable Chairperson, is the finalizing the Border Management Authority and adequate deployment of South African National Defense Force companies to protect South Africa's borderline, and an integrated vetting strategy where critical positions need to be filled. I'm jumping to slide 41, Chairperson, which talks to the progress on those commitments that we made in 2014-2015. With regard to the Border Management Authority, I think our minister has spoken to this matter, that it is still in the National Council of Provinces, and we hope to have consensus on this matter, and that it will move and be passed by the National Council of Provinces during this year. The integrated border management, as I had said, this has been achieved. The Immigration Refugee Bill submitted to Parliament by 2018-19, this has not achieved. The delays in the finalization of the socio-economic impact assessment study impacted negatively on our finalization of these bills. 74% or 810,000 of all birds captured within 30 days by 2018-19, this has been achieved. And the national identity system that I spoke to earlier has not been achieved due to supply chain management processes in respect of appointing a preferred service provider. With regard to 100% of all ports of entry equipped with biometric systems, Chairperson, the interim biometrics have been rolled out to 10 ports of entry, and we will continuing with that rollout during this financial year. The premium visa centers have been achieved. 85% of critical skills visas adjudicated within 4 weeks for applications processed within South Africa has been achieved. And the improved feedback opportunities for citizens and other service users through the implementation of the Home Affairs Contact Center has also been achieved. Chairperson, we are just looking at a comparison between the 2014 and 19 commitments, as well as the proposed commitments for 2019 to 2024. In 2014-2019, with regard to the Border Management Authority, we would have established, and it would have been operational by now, the integrated border management strategy would have been fully implemented, and the Immigration and Refugee Bill submitted to Parliament. Chairperson, our proposed targets for the MTSF period moving forward between the years 2019 and 2024 is that we would have a national targeting center operational. This DHA immigration priority will be driven by our Border Management Authority Project Office to modernize and streamline admission and enforcement functions at our ports of entry. The Border Management Agency will be operational, or we will ensure that it is operational during this MTSF period, and in a phased approach. This target, of course, is subject to the passing of legislation. The Immigration and Refugee Bills will be submitted to Parliament and implemented in the years 2023 to 2024. The target has been rolled over from previous MTFS cycle, and we need to factor in possible financial implications as well with the implementation. the target for births captured within 30 days will stay the same, 810,000 for 2019, and the NIS being operational, we will also include that in our 2019 outcomes. Chairperson, 100% of all designated ports of entry equipped with biometric roll control system. We will continue with the rollout of this biometric movement control system to all of our ports during this financial year. And 85% of critical skills visas adjudicated within 4 weeks. This will also be carried over into the new financial year. These then, Chairperson, will be the proposed targets for the department. So if we look at the targets then, Chairperson, for immigration services, in 2018-2019 we had 8 targets. During this financial year we have 5 targets. We have the a request for a proposal submitted to Treasury for a PPP to establish the Refugee Reception Center. This target has been removed from the APP due to funding constraints, Chairperson, and we will be discussing these with the Department of Treasury. The improved infrastructure has been moved to property management and placed on our ops plan, the departmental operational plan, as well as one selected refugee reception office with improved infrastructure. The ownership has also moved to property management and has been placed in our home affairs ops plan. With regard to the border management authority...
I gave you 30 minutes. I'm giving you additional 15 minutes to allow the members to reflect afterwards.
With regard to the Border Management Authority, we have 3 targets. With regard to civic services, we also have 3 targets. And in the administration area, we have 15 targets. So from the targets have decreased from 31 in 2018-19 to 26 in 2019-2020. Chairperson, I will now speak to our detailed slides per branch in terms of the targets that they have on the APP. For civic services, the outcome there is a secure South African citizenship and identity. The indicator is the number of births registered within 30 days. It's 810,000 to be registered during the 1920 financial year. The second target is the number of smart ID cards issued to citizens 16 years of age and above. In the target, the annual target for 1920 is 3 million. The third outcome here or target, Chairperson, is the percentage of machine-readable passports for adults issued within 13 working days for applications completed and processed within South Africa, and the annual target is 90% of all applications received. With regard to immigration services, the target here is the submission of the draft immigration bill and the submission of the refugee amendments to Cabinet and the implementation of the new legislation in in the financial years 21 to 22. In the annual target for 1920 is the draft immigration bill, including amendments submitted to Minister for approval. The other target is the number of law enforcement inspections or operations conducted to ensure compliance with immigration and departmental legislation. And we have prioritized here the transport sector and the hospitality sector or industry for these enforcement operations, and the 160 will be done within this financial year. The percentage of permanent residence visa applications adjudicated within 8 months for applications received within or collected within South Africa, the annual target is 85% of applications received for 1920. And Chairperson, the percentage of business and general work visas adjudicated within 8 weeks for applications processed within South Africa, the annual target for 1920 is 90%. The percentage of critical skills visas adjudicated within 4 weeks for applications processed within South Africa, the annual target is 85%. With regard to the border project or management project office, they have a target to submit a business case for the establishment of the National Targeting Center for ministerial approval. And in 1920 will be minister's approval of this business case. The phased operationalization of the Border Management Authority as per its roadmap within the annual target for 1920 would be the BMA operational in a phased approach at certain ports of entry as per the roadmap. The other target here is what we spoke about, the development of our 6 ports of entry. This target deals with that. And we, in this financial year, a draft request for proposal will be submitted to Treasury for the developments to be done at those 6 ports of entry that I have had mentioned earlier. With regard to information services, the NIS development in respect of the publication for a request for proposal is the target or the indicator for this year, and the annual target for 1920 would be the national identification system developed and a request for proposal published. The number of ports with biometric functionality in this financial year, our target is that the biometric movement control system will be piloted at 2 additional ports of entry. We will also be piloting an e-gate at our Cape Town International Airport during this financial year. An e-gate is an automated gate that allows for trusted travelers to be able to self-check them into the country. They don't need to present themselves to an immigration officer, but they are able to use the smart the e-passport to be able to check them in and out themselves in and out of the country. This will also change the way we do business at our major ports of entry and will be a major enhancement in terms of managing migration and facilitating the movement of people in and out of the country. Chairperson, we would also be piloting the e-permit system or the e-visa system. This will also be an electronic visa system on which applications can be done electronically over the internet, and the visas would then be issued electronically as well. This is the world-class system that the president had mentioned in his in the State of the Nation address, and we hope to have it rolled out to 6 missions during this financial year. With regard to human resource management and development, the target here is the number of, or the indicator is the number of managers, junior, middle, and senior trained in leadership. We are targeting 500 for this financial year. The percentage of valid misconduct cases submitted to a presiding officer for consideration within 30 working days. We are targeting 75% of these cases to be submitted, prepared and submitted to a presiding officer. And the other target is the maintenance of the vacancy rate below 10%. With regard to institutional planning and support, Honorable Chairperson, the indicator here is the phased implementation of a repositioned Home Affairs as a modern and secure department. The annual target for 1920 is that the final draft of the Home Affairs Bill will be submitted to Cabinet for approval for public consultation, as well as the official identity management policy would be submitted to Cabinet for approval for public consultation. With regard to counter-corruption and security, the indicator here is the number of awareness initiatives on ethics, fraud, prevention, and counter-corruption. The annual target for 1920 is that 20 such initiatives would be conducted. The percentage of reported cases on fraud and corruption finalized within 90 days, 66%, is being targeted for 1920, and the number of threat and risk assessments conducted in accordance with the requirements of the minimum information security standard, our target for 1920 is 60. The number of vetting files referred to the State Security Agency for evaluation, the annual target for 1920 is 416. Chairperson, that concludes our presentation on the APP, our targets that we have in our annual performance plan. We still have a presentation on the budget that needs to be done, Minister. Yeah, I will take guidance on that.
Yes, we hear from the committee. It will take 5 minutes.
I think it's readily available. You can proceed. We have another 10 minutes. Is that okay, members?
Come here, sir.
Chairperson.
We will ask the acting.
I think that there's something wrong we're doing here. Our relationship, or rather our temporality with what is being presented here is problematic. I think we're a bit haste, and especially for us who are new, I think we shouldn't rush. I think there's a sense of rush that I see that we're treating the ministry with. I think, I don't know what you're rushing to. Remember when we got there, when you were elected, I mean, I don't think that you should treat their presentation with the same hastiness you assumed your seat there. It's important that they be given the necessary time to flesh out all the important things. We're not just passing time here. We need to get a full understanding of what is happening in that ministry, especially for us who are new. So to constantly remind them of the time that they have is itself unsettling, especially for us who are trying to get into it. And also the assumption that we have read it does not mean that we have read it with understanding. They are here particularly to give us that understanding. So the minister must relax. We are here to understand what is happening. And the argument that there's 10 minutes and there are people who must go and all those things is highly problematic. We too are here because we want to understand. And also, we would rather be somewhere else. But we're here because we have to be here and do the work that we have been put here for. So I don't know. Maybe you must give us an understanding why you're in a rush. We're not in a rush for anything. So the minister must give us everything that he had prepared and planned to deliver so that we have a full understanding. And we can ask questions based on an informative or an informed position. I beg of you, Chair, that you allow us to understand what's happening here.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think I agree with the Honourable Pambo. We are all new and we are all just settling into this process, and we must do justice to this process because we are debating the budget next week. So I think maybe since he has already raised the issue, it feels a bit that we are skipping over some important information, and maybe also from that viewpoint, since the information is still fresh in our minds, that we engage with this presentation first before we go to the numbers. And then maybe once we've engaged with this presentation, ask our questions of clarity, then we can tackle the budget after that.
You can follow in that sequence.
Okay. No, thanks, Chair. I think the impression of the submission of members in terms of time, it could have been outlined when the chairperson allowed the minister. And I think the team could have given an indication on the limited time. But, Chair, two issues which I think we need to appreciate is that the department has advanced the reports for us to peruse. And the impression which I get is that we'll get more time to engage with the reports when we're coming to the engagement with the department. It may be unfair to start with that road, Chair, to say that we just want to pass time in order to pass the report. The reports have been submitted for us to peruse, so that when the department comes, focus on the areas that I think we need to deal with, and we get enough time to engage with the money base that we received the report. I don't get the Chair to be suppressing the department in terms of how we must framework our discussion, Chairperson. Thanks.
No, thanks, Chair. I think let me support the proposal for us to engage in discussion on this before we go to the finance. I want to support that. But secondly, you've got over 90 slides, I think. There is just no way, even if you were to spend a day, that would do justice to what has been presented to us. My understanding was that today we're using it to get high-level, overall, not only the department, IEC, Government Printing Works, as part of our program. We're going to be calling the department back on quite a number of occasions to get new details of the various aspects. Anybody who thinks that would have gone through this and finish it today, it's not possible. It's not doable. So that's my understanding. Because after they've presented, they are going to be opening up more questions for us to go and read. And on the basis of that, we're going to be saying with you, here is a comprehensive program going forward. We want you to come back on this kind of aspect and so on. That's my approach, Chair.
No, thank you. I think I can allow members to engage with the first part of the presentation. I want to note those hands, but I do sympathize with what you are raising, Comrade Pambo. But you will recall that we have also agreed with South Africans that we'll hit the ground running. And hitting the ground running meant we'll have to use a speed of a mirage in terms of dealing with the issues before us. But I took it that the presentations were given to us timeously. When we come here, I could have easily said, let's ask them questions, but we allow them a presentation to take us through what we have already noted.
Chairperson, I don't want to sound like I'm calling point of order on the Chairperson, but there are political pronouncements you're making. You say you have agreed with the South Africans about hitting the ground running. Philosophically, that's something else for me. I don't understand it to mean the same thing you're saying. To hit the ground running can also mean thinking. So don't separate the doing and the thinking. We are here to think and do. So I don't know what you mean when you say we agreed with South Africans to hit the ground running. I think this is hitting the ground running, but it also doesn't mean that we rush over things. I'm not saying that we're going to do all 91 of them. That's not my expectation. I'm saying what the minister or the ministry has prepared today to present must be that which they do today. Not to be told, no, you have 30 minutes. Otherwise, you should have told them before they came that, no, you only have 30 minutes, and then prepare according to that 30 minutes. But when they get here, they suddenly have to cram everything into, 30 minutes. It's not fair. I would not agree to that nonsense. It doesn't make sense. So all I'm saying, Chair, without sounding like I'm playing some political football, and I'm not presenting this from a partisan position. I never did. So all I'm saying is that let's allow the space to be, that which, for all of us to think and be able to participate And they, as the people who are initiating the conversation, must be allowed to fully flesh out what they came here for. Like right now, we're going to be subjected to numbers. You know, we're not that inclined, so we will need more time to digest and be able to go through it as they present, and we can engage them. They're here. We don't want to call them privately. They're here. They're all here. So let them be given enough time to present according to their preparations. According to their preparations. That's all we're asking.
Let's note those hands that wanted to engage with the presentation. We're going to start with Lizelle. We'll come that way, and then we'll you'll be yourself, and then you, Honorable Chabane. Let's take it, and then yourself, you'll be the last one. Let's take those hands in that sequence.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much to the department and the officials for presentation. I want to start off on slide 29, where we spoke about the war on queues that was launched last year. I wanted to get a brief indication about how successful this project has been so far, because I think the perception, real or otherwise, is that queues at Home Affairs Department at any branch is normally a nightmare, to the extent that we even find now scamsters who are making money off pensioners by charging them 350 rand purportedly to be able to jump the queue. So I just want to get an indication of how successful your war on queues have been so far. On slide 29, again, we speak about the e-visa, the world-class e-visa regime and the focus on the tourism sector to boost the economy. But often when you find at airports, immigration desks at airports are often unmanned. You'll find very long queues with maybe two people manning the desk. I did hear that we are now getting e-gates, but maybe we can be getting an indication on the time frames. By when are we expecting to get the e-gates? And in the interim, before we get e-gates at our different ports of entry, whether we will be allocating additional staff, for example, during tourist peak season, so that we don't only have two people manning immigration desks. Minister, you also recently, when you took over as Minister, you spoke about the fact that you want to revamp the Home Affairs Department. You spoke very passionately about that. But we often find that Home Affairs systems are offline, maybe for days or weeks. It was very prevalent before the elections that even in Durban Metro and in the Cape Town Metro, systems were simply just offline. So people would have to take off work. You take off work, you get to Home Affairs to do your business, and unfortunately, these systems are offline. So I would like to hear from you, what are your interventions in this regard? I'm sorry, I was out briefly, so I don't know if you mentioned or touched on the issue of fraudulent marriages, but I wanted to get an indication in terms of, because your department seems to have been slow to investigate or even put in place remedial actions for these fraudulent marriages. I see that there's a pending court case possibly, so I want to know what is the prevalence of how many cases have been reported to you, how many have been resolved, and how many officials have been held responsible for these instances. And then I think you spoke about the issue of undocumented migrants, or the presentation spoke to that, and we spoke about the issue of the Border Management Authority, which will be and your comment was that you plan to document migrants as they enter the country. But I want to ask, what are we currently doing in terms of people who are undocumented? We saw some attacks on police officials in Hillbrow just recently. The trucking sector is in flames, excuse the pun, but people are losing their lives and it's a crisis. You did say that you will be doing oversight visits to various industries. You spoke about going to the hospitality industry as well as the trucking industry. But I find on slide 62 you are going to do or planning to do 160 inspections, and I find that very little. I don't think that will actually address the problem that we are facing. So can we, is there any way that we can increase the number of inspections to be done at different stores? I mean, for example, you'll walk into a store that is maybe not owned by a South African, and you won't be getting a tax, you won't be getting a receipt, because quite possibly that institution or that business is not paying tax or not paying VAT. When you start engaging with the staff, for example, they'll tell you that they're earning 50 rand for a 12-hour shift. So it means when you've got businesses that are unregistered and people who are undocumented, people are flouting our labor legislation, flouting the business legislation, or you know, all the rules and regulations that they're supposed to be complying with. So I just find the 160 inspections that we are planning on different businesses to be very little in comparison to the problem or the scale of the problem that we've got. So maybe if you can just speak to that issue. I did see you saying that you've got a plan to address this, but in while we're waiting for the Border Management Authority, how do we address other sectors, not just the hospitality sector, but for example the security sector, you know, all the other sectors where we also find undocumented you know, foreign nationals working and possibly, you know, illegally so.
Thank you, Deputy DG. I just have a question of clarity on the refugee centres, just to understand a bit more about the capacity and how close we are to capacity in those refugee centres, particularly Musina.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is a few, and I want to add to what my colleagues have said. The own queues versus the insufficient capacity, also related to the question, Minister, through you, Chair, of an offline system. We have tremendous problems when it comes to queues, capacity, and offline situations. Just yesterday I spoke to a parent who had her child 3 days. He was supposed to take off 3 days to go there, only to be told that you are now this number in the line, and then later during the day it's offline, so the second day as well as the third day. So I think you have said that the civic arm is very important, Minister, and I think we need to address the challenges in this regard when it comes to the offline situation. Then I want to speak to the BMA as well, which really I see that the Home Affairs itself had anticipated for 2019 to be finished. We're a little bit late, but it's not only the BMA. There is also a court ruling on the amendment relating to Section 34 of the Immigration Act. Nothing has been said about that, and also the so-called lapse of a civil union bill that was passed by this committee. We also would like to hear something from that. Then Mr. McKay has eloquently also spoke on the ports of entry and the advancement thereof. And I don't want to go one back when it comes to the advanced passenger system. And this was quite for years ago. Quite years ago where we have an advanced passenger system. This system can tell you who bought the plane, where the person sits on, you know, is on his way to, whether it's Waterkloof or whatever, he can tell you whether it's AJ on that plane, whether it's Atul, whether Rajesh. So you also need to see and find out in terms of the advanced passenger system, whether the system really is to some sort of advantage to this country, and whether it works to prevent another Gupta landing in South Africa. Then, in terms of the targets, we have misconduct, cases on misconduct. I'm not too sure, a little bit of a misunderstanding perhaps on myself, if Mr. McKay can just inform us, 70%, I think it's relatively a little bit high. And then also with the targets when it comes to threats, it's also from 80 to a 60%. So perhaps just a motivation to why, because this is a portfolio that really has a lot of challenges when it comes to threats. There's a lot of challenges when it comes to corruption and a number of other things. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think just quick four issues. I think the first one to the Minister, in terms of the smart card capacity that you are beefing up, you've said this year is 17 offices followed by 29. What I'm missing in that is that kind of relates to offices.
but are missing as to whether part of that is the beefing up of modernized trucks, because not every part of South Africa will have an office. If you're talking about farm areas, rural areas, you need those modernized trucks that can do the smart card. When you go to schools in the urban area, you've got a captive audience of young ones who are looking for smart card. What is happening now, we have to organize them to go to an office on Saturday, and we should be able to deal with that with a modernized truck. So I would want you to speak on the issue of modernized trucks in beefing up that capacity of increasing the volumes on the smart card. The second point, I'm interested to find out the extent of the vacancy beyond the DDGs. You've told us about the four DDGs. Is that it? Can we go down to chief directors and directors to just get the practical extent of that? Because unless that is solved, all those APPs are not going to be done. So we need to get a sense of as to your vacancy rate and what is being done about that. The quick third point is, you've said it's a proposed MTSF 2019-2024. Will it be finalized after you have seen us? At what point are we saying you are now hitting the ground rolling? I'm going to leave, Chair, the other issues that I think you have shared with us, but we will meet you in the annual report for some of the stuff, because I want to separate the annual report issues and what we need to deal with now. There's a lot of what you have raised here that I think we need to pack, and because when we deal with the annual report, you need to tell us why you did not do this and all of that. So I will leave a bit of that. My last point, Chair, is your overtime issues as part of your APPs. I mean, Saturday I wanted to go and do an amendment of a birth certificate. Home Affairs offices are closed until further notice on Saturdays. And mind you, Saturdays, that's when many people are available to go and do there, and that's when you're closing. So I don't know who you're opening for, because you're only doing during the week. What is the problem for utilizing the Saturdays beyond the issue of the problem about overtime and finances? I think it's going to be important that we get that understanding, because again, that can also help us to deal with some of the backlogs. I see your targets have been reduced compared to what was there before. Is that a sign of success, or is it because it's a short year? Because I've been noticing a trend of those reduced targets in terms of your APPs.
No, thanks, Chair. Mine is only on two issues. I think others have been covered by Honorable Lizelle. I wanted to check with the department on the relationship between the Human Rights Commission and the department. There's often a challenge at the level of Department of Education where learners are undocumented. You find that the child has to be accepted at school, and the rules of the department sometimes bar from learners to be accepted, and the Human Rights Commission gave authority for learners to be accepted at the school. So I wanted to check that area as to what extent is the synergy between the work of the Human Rights Commission and the Department of Education, particularly undocumented young kids want to access the school. I think further on the issue of the refugee centers, what are the areas of improvement on that area of improvement in terms of both the capacity of the centers and the management of the centers? I could not get clearly on the trusted travelers. What is the category? I think if you can expand more on the trusted travelers, because you're saying out establish a new e-gate searching port. What is the limitations for this process of the trusted travelers? Chairperson, I think on the long queues in the department, and also on the areas of corruption.
think the department needed to expand more. Now that you are new in the department, what are the areas of the corruption element, and where the department has taken the decision in terms of the areas that have been raised? You have raised that you are coming here with the loss of acting portfolios. How does it impact on the functioning of the department in terms of service delivery and the areas that I think we need to function as a department? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kayil? Oh, okay. Alchema, yourself.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I recently went to apply for a passport and an ID and help my grandson with a birth certificate. I must say the timelines were amazing. The pot course that we brought along wasn't necessary. We were out of the offices within 10 minutes. The issue I want to raise is that we know that there is now going to be one marriage act with many doors. We are just worried that it will take many years. And in the meantime, my dignity is being harmed from the cradle to the grave. My parents got married in a religious ceremony. And when I was born, I was illegitimate. If I should die in the next few years, my death certificate will say never married. And if my wife takes that death certificate to try and change the car into her name, it is impossible. It's a tragedy. So the previous Director General of Home Affairs sent us a communication that he was instructed by President Zuma to look into this particular matter. And we were invited to submit a draft bill to address the issue of the non-recognition of religious marriages, which we did. So after the Director General left, it must be lying on someone's desk. So we want to know, is it in the meantime, the religious communities, and like the Muslim community, we're waiting now for 25 years for legal consequences for our religious marriages. And now with the one marriage act with many doors, it looks like we have to wait another 25 years. But in the meantime, all I want is that when I die, my death certificate must say married, because I did have a marriage religious ceremony. I did pay malapaula. If I get married to a Zulu woman and I pay malapaula, and I take the Labola certificate to Home Affairs, they will give me a marriage certificate. And then my marriage will show, my death certificate will show that I am married. Why can't that be done in the meantime for religious marriages as well? Here in this case, we also pay Labola, it's reflected on the certificate. Why can't I just take the, not that I intend marrying again, but why can't I take the religious certificate which shows my dowry that I paid to Home Affairs, and why can't they register my marriage? So when I die, my marriage certificate says married.
Honorable Kanyel?
Chairperson, I don't want to lose.
No, I just note it down because let's take all of them, Minister.
No, I just want him to clarify what is on the floor.
Okay.
Are you talking of religious marriages or specifically Muslim marriages?
I'm talking about religious marriages because Hindu marriages, Muslim marriages and Jewish marriages don't have legal consequences. Every other marriage in the country has legal consequences, and that's unfair to the religious community.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation from the department. What we would like to know from our side is that what are the steps currently taken by the department to address the issue of insufficient capacity within the department? And also on the presentation that is in front of us, they've indicated that the department has a challenge of registering early births because of inability to fill a vacant post, and if the department has that the information right in front, like here with us, I want to know how many hospitals have Department of Home Affairs officials that are situated inside the hospitals? Because I understand and believe that we'll actually try and address the issue of us not having, it will address the issue of having early birth registered immediately on the premises before the mothers leave with their children from the hospitals. Because to support the other honourable member that has indicated the issue of children at school, I'm coming from Mpumalanga province. We are sitting with lots and lots of learners, especially in primary schools. I have not been to high schools that are not documented. And as a result, those children are not even able to access their social grant because their mothers will actually need the birth certificate to be able to register for the social grant. And we all know that in our country we have the highest rate of unemployment. And I would also like to know what is the department doing to ensure that the officials are not running the departments as parser shops. The reason I am saying this, and this is the only office that was reported to myself, on the 18th of June, I have received a call from a community member in Gavinimbegi around 11 in the morning who indicated that they were waiting on the queue because the offices were still locked at that time. I called the manager immediately. He told me that the office should have been opened at 8 o'clock. And the reason was not opened up until 11 o'clock. It was because the official that had the key was on leave, and now they were waiting for him to drive from Bethal to Secunda, which was going to take him about 30 minutes. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Honorable Pambo?
I didn't raise a hand for engagement, but now that you've given me the opportunity, let me bite at it. Well, Minister, I heard about the issuing of ID smart cards by banks or the processing thereof. I'm intrigued by the relationship the state has with the banks from a security point of view. I don't know. Maybe you can educate us about it. How safe is it to then have an entity that I don't think that we have direct control over, in at least in those ways? Is it not risky that we have banks issuing or processing ID smart cards? I beg for your education.
Honorable JJ.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think mine is a comment. The Department of Home Affairs is one of those that there are a lot of complaints about the department itself. My suggestion would be, because we are not here as a committee to interrogate the department, part of our job is to try and make it easier for them to do their job. For me, that is one of those that is very important. If we could put all of these things down and ask the department to tell us how they are going to deal with this situation in a form of a report, because there may be a report and time frames, because there are lots and lots of problems in the department itself. I don't think sitting here now they can answer all of those things. But our duty is to say, these are the problems. We recognize there are these problems. What are you doing about them? And how are you going to sort them out? What are your impediments in implementing these things or in correcting these things? And then what do you think as the committee, how do you think we can help you? Unlike sitting and interrogating them with the problems that are there. There are so many of them. Thank you, Chairperson. It was just a comment.
Yeah, thank you, Honorable JJ. I'm going to allow the department now that the hands are over. And indeed, I agree with you, Honorable JJ. Those questions that they are also unable to deal with as at now, they may be converted into questions, written questions, and then we'll make follow-ups around those questions. But those that Honorable Minister
and Honorable Deputy Minister, you are able to respond to. Please respond to that. But before you respond, I see Honorable McLaughlin has a comment or a question.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. McLaughlin. I don't know where the surname comes from. I think it was a Gulwa first. But anyhow, Chair, I agree with a member of the EFF. If there are reports in front of us, it has to go for interrogation. And I also agree with you that there is no way that the department can come up with immediate questions now. Those questions being asked must be submitted in written form. And on the other hand, we as members can use other platforms in asking questions. But what is in front of us will prepare us for budget speeches, will be prepared for our oversight role, will prepare us for a number of things. So if there must be an interrogation, robust debate, it must be there. And it's nothing personal. It's about the principle of matters that we are here. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, no, thanks. We are going to give to the minister and the department. I think we are generally all agreeing. The department is here. What I said earlier was that if it means we will knock off at 10 in the evening, we are going to do so. I think that was the spirit with which I wanted to members to be so free that we must engage, because they are here, we are going to engage with them. So we need to take that spirit. If we are going to engage with the department, if it means the whole night, we are going to do so, because they are here for that. But that, it goes in line with us having to, I note members, that we are still going to have our own induction as a committee and strategic planning as a committee of parliament that we are going to have, and other things will be clarified. But my experience in parliament is that we work with time. We even in the debate there at the house, you remember Honorable Hendricks, at the programming we deal with issue of time, that you wanted 4 minutes, to say we give you 3, because we are sticking to time. That is how parliament runs. But we will be dealing with those issues when the time is right. But for now, let's deal with the department and the two entities. They are here. They are going to answer as far as possible. Where they are unable to answer, they will give them a time frame with which they must give us the responses. It may be even before the budget vote next week. Honorable Minister, over to you.
Yeah, we'll share the questions, Chairperson. I'll indicate two answers. With Honorable Lizelle van der Merwe had 3 questions. The first one is about queues. I'll ask the staff, they were on queues, how successful it is. The second one is about e-visa. The Deputy Minister will take it. The issue of offline, I would like to attempt to report that, but the IT section will help me. So can I allow the staff to make answer about issues? I'll keep on directing, Chairperson. With the issue of war on issues, Mr. Skama, the DDG, would like to take it.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much, Minister. As on the war on issues, Chairperson, we started with a strategy last year, where we have drafted a strategy and it was presented to our ex-co, our MMM, where the minister sits. And indeed, we then work closely with GCIS so that they can help us to identify some of the causes within the war on queues. Amongst others, we have picked up that one of the issues why most of clients are queuing for a longer time, it was about unpredictable walk-ins. When you open an office, you don't know how many people will be coming for a service. So hence, then you have to go all out, make sure that you segment the queues, so that then you can try and assist them. The second one was the discontinuation of working on Saturdays. I think honorable members raised that. And as you are aware, we had a serious challenge where Saturdays were discontinued due to issues that were raised by labor and all the like. So the department then went back to the drawing board to look into that matter. We are now planning to go back to labor so that this matter can further be discussed. And upon that, once it's agreed, then we will make that announcement.
we also, out of the findings, we also realized that there were issues of inadequate leadership in most of our offices. You find that we have got about, where we've got about 193 life capture offices, as indicated by the DG. You find that there are about 42 offices where we don't have managers at all. So we have to then appoint certain people to act as office managers, and that also affects the staff complement in our front offices. That was a problem. I think the DG also indicated about the issue of vacant positions, where we don't have DDGs, we don't have chief directors, etc., etc. That was also an issue that was picked by GCIS, and we also put it in our plans to say this matter needs to be tabled. The other issue that was part of the findings was the issue of unstable systems. I think you explained it very well, the offline in front offices causing problems, and we don't have direct answers on when the system will be restored. Mr. also indicated that he will then also further explain on offlines. We've engaged our partners, CETA, our IT technicians, they looked into the matter, and indeed that one is still a work in progress. It takes time in the to restore some of our systems once we go offline, because we really work with a number of stakeholders who assist us in order to resolve some of the issues. We also have our old systems, we call them legacy systems, wherein you find that in one office you run the old legacy system, and on the other hand you have to split the two systems so that others can then go and apply for for either smart card or passports using the so-called life capture system. So legacy systems here, they run on its own platforms, and it has got its own workflow. And that one also is a challenge, because now you have to queue for a birth certificate, for a marriage certificate, and if you are to apply for an ID, then you have to then go back and queue again for a life capture. So we want to then combine the two and have one workflow process, so that once you have got an automated office, then you must be able to run both processes. You don't have to queue for birth certificate and later go back and apply for a smart card somewhere. So we're in a process of automating our systems. At the moment, we've got about 27 offices within the 193 that are able to run register birth online, marriages online, and the death online. So that helps us in terms of trying to reduce the queues in such offices. We've just piloted in the 27 offices. It works, but it requires capacity. We also have to make sure that all our staff members are trained to familiarize themselves with the new process of automation. So we were trying also to move away from paper. As you are aware, Home Affairs has been known to be a paper department. So once you are there, you go into the platform, you open the automated form, you apply everything all at once. So that would also assist us in solving the problems. So we're continuing on a daily basis to monitor that, but all the findings and the complaints that we're receiving, we analyze them and then make sure that we improve our systems on a daily basis. Thanks very much.
The other questions, Honorable van der Merwe, will be answered by me, and the DM will come after allowing the staff. So can we move to the second question about refugees and the capacity of refugee centers, especially Musina? The staff will answer that. I'll come there with the Deputy Minister. Yeah.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Minister. Honorable member, we have five refugee offices, as I have said, in Musina, Desmond Tutu, in Pretoria. In PE, we have one. We have one here in Cape Town, as well as the Durban Refugee Reception Centers. Our reception centers are adequately staffed with regard to reception officers that receive applications from people claiming asylum, as well as the status determination officers. These will be the officers that look at your claim, that does an adjudication on your claim, and that then confers on you either status of refugee, or they refuse to grant you refugee status.
In those areas, we are pretty efficient, or we are efficient. There are no real backlogs there. Where we do have backlogs is in the area of the appeals, as well as the reviews. Now there are two entities that deal with appeals and reviews. We have the Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs. When you claim for asylum, you can either be successful or your claim can be rejected on two grounds. The first ground can be that it is manifestly unfounded. Now, a manifestly unfounded means it's a fraudulent claim. They ask you, why have you left your country and why do you come to South Africa? You say, no, I'm here for looking for a job. That's a manifestly unfounded claim. And that claim is then reviewed by the Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs. So the Standing Committee reviews those cases. Then you find unfounded cases. This is the case of a person that comes to South Africa and says that, look, just as an example I'm using, I'm from the DRC. There's a war where I come from. I've been displaced. I am coming to South Africa seeking protection. Now, we might refuse that claim depending which part of the DRC you come from. Now, when we refuse it, those are borderline cases because this chap might be a candidate for refugee status. So these cases are then referred to the Refugee Appeals Board that hears these cases de novo. So as they come in, the Refugee Appeals Board listens to the cases afresh, and they make a finding whether these cases we can confer refugee status on them. So you have a reception center that is very efficient. You have the RAB, and I'll speak to the Refugee Appeals Board first. They sit as a committee. It's a board. So the board sits and listens to cases individually. No, sorry, as a board. So there are only so many cases they can hear per day. So you have a backlog there because the number of cases they need to hear and sitting as a board, it's not efficient at all. The Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs as well, it sits as a committee. And there we do have problems around that. So, yes, Minister.
Chairperson, maybe let me try to summarize for the DDG here, because it's one of the things that we've discussed with one that just picked up. In terms of the law and the police, the Refugee Appeals Board consists of five people, right? And they say there's a quorum, and for each person interviewed, they must form a quorum with three people. So we are in the process of changing that. It's not going to work. You can't have all three people sitting on one person. And if there are only two, the third one is not there, it can't sit. But that, in other words, is a policy problem which needs to be changed if we are going to. So the backlog of 150,000 people is because of that. Time and again they meet and say, we don't make three, so we can't meet. You know, so that has to be re-looked at, otherwise it's not going to be efficient. Of course, it was done to stop corruption, that we need as many people as possible. But then it's inefficient, and it will have to be looked into. And we are in the process of reviewing that, by the way.
Yes. Thank you, Minister. In fact, the law has been passed in the new Immigration Act. We are just busy now compiling the regulations for the Minister to pass. That has been resolved by the new legislation, and the board would be able to sit as individual members listening to these cases. So, Chairperson, just to round up on this particular issue, that is where we have our challenges. It's in those areas. And suffice to say that the number of refugee claims has dropped dramatically in the past couple of years. And when we do come to the portfolio committee to brief them on that particular area, we will have the necessary data with us to be able to show that there is a drastic drop. Lastly, we are working with the UNHCR on dealing with the backlog cases in the Refugee Appeals Board area. Thank you, Chair.
The questions from Honorable McClure, can there's a court ruling on Section 34 and an advanced passenger system. Can somebody answer the issue of offline? We'll come back to it, as we said. We're taking that.
I'll take that as well, Minister,
yes,
because it's immigration issues.
Yes.
Yes, we are already dealing, Honourable McClure, with regard to the constitutional requirement. It deals with us having, before we deport anybody, that we need to take that person to court before we can deport. So we are already dealing with it in that way, and we are complying to the Constitutional Court. But the Portfolio Committee was supposed to pass a committee bill in the last sitting to bring about those changes. That committee bill was not passed during the last session, and the committee would have to look at that matter in this particular year to see that it is done. With regard to the APP, the Advanced Passenger Processing System, Honorable McClure, excellent system. It's like insurance, Honorable McClure. You miss it when you don't have it. So it does the work. We have been able to offload. It's a system that is able to offload a passenger at the point of embarkation before he comes to South Africa. So when you, for instance, come to Heathrow Airport and they scan your passport at check-in, it checks against our databases of unwanted people or prohibited people in South Africa, and when you are on that, it stops you from boarding the plane. So it does work very effectively. Thank you.
Yes. Questions from Honorable Janti. The smart card tracks, we'll come back to it, I'll answer it. The issue of HR, the Deputy Minister is going to deal with that. The issue of overtime, I'm sure this Sikama has mentioned it. It's an issue of labor, and we are changing the rules. There's an act, this Home Affairs Act, which will make Home Affairs a special department, whereby essential service, that is still on. Otherwise, before that, there'll always be problem. Essential service like police, for instance, that if you are working for subs, you know, you are not working like all other public servants. That is still on. So, Honorable Chawani, the question about the capacity of reception centers has been answered. The trusted travelers, I will answer it later. So let's move on. The questions from Honorable Hendricks about marriages. I don't know which one of the officials. I think it's Sigama again.
Yes.
The religious marriages, please respond. I asked him about Muslim marriages because I was briefed that that's the special type that is causing problems. And there's an act which is in the making about that, but you'll answer it. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Minister. Thanks very much, Chair. Yes, you recall that the department is administering three types of marriages. We've got the civil marriage, according to the Act No. 25 of 1961, which allows also religious marriages to use that in terms of the Act. You also have the customary marriages, which then also assists those people who never had an opportunity to register their marriages, particularly purely African people or indigenous people who never had an opportunity to register their marriages. And that's why once you have passed on, then you always find that the certificate, death certificate, is never married, because those couples never had an opportunity to visit the department to register marriages. The last one is the Civil Union Act, which was passed recently. I think that was in 2006. That allows either heterogeneous people or people to then enter into a union before they could register their marriage. So they have to make a choice first. So we've got those three types of marriages that we normally use. But in terms of the Muslim marriages, as Minister has alluded to, the department is currently redrafting the act, wherein we'll have one marriage act. We'll combine everything and make sure that we factor in all the issues or requirements for the Muslim marriages. I'm aware that it was once presented and it was sent back. So we're busy working with our legal services now to make sure that we've got a draft
on a marriage act, which would include everything, including Muslim marriages. So there have been a draft that has been sent to our policy unit, so that they can use into, they can look into the inputs that have been collected from various religious regimes, and all those inputs have been factored into the draft. And we'll also make sure that we then share it with our minister so that he can look at the input provided. Thanks.
Yes, the question, the next question is from Honorable Kanile about insufficient capacity, that staffing. DM will answer it. I'll answer the rest of the questions and the questions from Honorable Bambo. DM, can we?
No, thank you, Minister. I think if you were to look at slide 9, it does present a synopsis of the problem that we are facing with regards to staff issues, and where you have almost about 10,500 of staff between the level 3 to 8 being unfunded posts, and then the other ones obviously as they are senior managed. So some of the issues that are raised around queues and so on and so on are largely as a result of that particular situation. And that situation can be dealt with or will be dealt with in two ways. The first issue is that Treasury has put a cap on the salary bill, which is around 3 billion, which means you don't exceed that amount. So in order for you to cap that salary bill, you then have to make sure that when a post becomes vacant, you then do not fund it and so on, so that you reduce that cap. So we have to look at issues of, one, efficiency and an engagement with Treasury to consider upping the cap, because most of these posts, they are at the front end of service delivery. So that is part of the problems that we have found and that we have committed that they should be dealt with. The issue of the e-visa regime, it is currently at functional testing stage. It will be piloted in the month of July, and full production will then be done later in the year, around November. The beauty of what the e-visa regime does is that it is not dependent, one, on staff in the main. Because a person sitting at home in the U.S. is able to apply for a visa online, and then that application is then sent through to a central adjudication, and it's adjudicated there. A person is sent a response to say that your visa has been approved. It is then loaded into the system, as Mr. McKay was explaining, that we are able to see who is boarding a plane from anywhere in the anywhere in the world coming to South Africa. So all those people who will have their visas being already pre-approved will be able to board flights. And then when they land in South Africa, they just receive their visa, it is printed, and then they are allowed entry, which makes it very easy for anyone to then visit South Africa, which is going to be a serious positive impact on our tourism figures.
Thank you very much. The question on Home Affairs Department,
Honorable Minister. Honorable Lizelle, who wants to say something, but no. I'm not... Before you say something, I'm noting that it's lunch time.
Oh.
And there's a lunch that is prepared that is there. So I want the indulgence of members that we allow the minister to finish that part of the work. Then we go for lunch. Or we can, after you stop there, take the remaining part of the question after at 2. So I just wanted the indulgence of members around that. Speak to that also as you speak to your point.
No, I think if you want to break for lunch, Chair, we can do so. I just wanted to remind the Minister that I also asked about the current interventions with regards to fraudulent marriages at the Department of Home Affairs, because there's a law case pending I've seen. And secondly, I wanted to ask about the current interventions to deal with people who are already in South Africa that are undocumented migrants, especially since there was a slide about 160 inspections at hospitality industry and the trucking industry vis-a-vis the scale of the problem.
Can the honorable members allow us to answer? And if these questions are not answered, they'll come. Because, yes, we have got them here.
We've noted them. We're going to answer. Yes.
Can I get guidance on the issue of the lunch and the finishing of the question? So we agree that the minister finishes. Okay. Proceed.
Honorable, this issue, there's a big elephant in the room here in our country, which is problematic. Whether you go to health or education or home affairs of life, there's something called broadband. And I complain bitterly about it, that ever since I entered government, even in the province, etc., the issue of broadband is letting South Africa down. But I understand the Department of Communication is busy with this issue. If we don't resolve the issues of broadband, we are going to have problems. And for a department like Home Affairs, which has to process things continuously and very fast, this broadband lets them down. Of course, the second smaller problem is about power also, Eskom, you know. If something just gets, you know. So what we are doing in Home Affairs Department is to make sure we are trying, like we did in health, where I was previously, that there must be generators so that when the Home Affairs Department, the electricity switches off, we don't go offline, we continue. The small technicality we are having is that in hospitals, for instance, the generator is connected to the, when it gets triggered automatically, switches off. Now, in Home Affairs, they found that it was wasting diesel, because if it happens during the night, the generator will be on throughout the whole night when there's nobody on duty. And so we are looking at the technical. Maybe engineers will help us. How do you solve that part? Because we don't want to be running all Home Affairs offices during the night when nobody's working and filling in a lot of diesel. That's also a waste. So that is the trick. But the biggest problem of them all is the issue of broadband. The prevalence of fraudulent marriages, yes. We get about 2,000 per annum. In the last financial year, between April last year and now, there were 2,132 fraudulent marriages, at least those which were reported to us. It is not true, and I want to emphasize, it's not true that Home Affairs is not doing anything about the fraudulent marriages. I'm aware of the court case. We are talking about the Vets Legal Aid Clinic. I even visited them to discuss with them on how we can help each other. But, of course, they told us in no uncertain terms that they are going on with the class action. But it's not true that Home Affairs is not doing anything. Out of the 2,132 fraudulent marriages, they have examined them, they've gone through them, and found that 1,162 are indeed fraudulent, and they annulled them. Out of the 2,132, 1,162 were annulled because they were found to be definitely fraudulent. But 643, that's where the argument is. According to the documents in Home Affairs, Home Affairs thinks the 643 marriages are not fraudulent. They are there. It's only that the people who entered those marriages no longer want them. Yes, they no longer want them, but they insist that Home Affairs must annul them. They don't understand when we tell them that once you get married by Home Affairs, only a judge can dissolve that marriage, not us, even if you no longer want it. In other words, you don't reverse it through Home Affairs. So what is the story with these 643 marriages which we think are real? It's because there is a scam in the country of people who come from other countries. They want a fast move to citizenship. You know, citizenship is a process to become a citizen of a country. They want the first entry, and the fastest entry is to get married. Yes, you get married to somebody, just by being married, then you acquire citizenship. So some people believe, I get married to this person, they pay me money, thereafter I go to Home Affairs and cancel it. Yes. So when you explain that, no, it can't be us, go to the justice system, they said, no, we are very poor. Indeed, most of these are very poor people. So there is that scam, and we are dealing with it. So the 643, I have instructed that they be called one by one, so that before we finalize that this is actually fraudulent. They've also been interviewed. And why do we say so? Because there are signatures there. Which signature experts say this signature belongs to this? In some cases, not even signatures, fingerprints. You can't be married in absentia through a fingerprint. I don't know any other system that will bring your original fingerprint there. But they are there. The man has put the fingerprint. The woman has put the fingerprint. But they are now saying, no, we don't know each other. So there is fraudulent and those which are not fraudulent. Out of this 2,132, 326 are still being investigated. So we are doing something. We've announced 1,162, 643 we are arguing. They might even go to court. Because according to us, we believe they are real marriages. And the people have to go to prove to a judge that it's not Home Affairs is not telling the truth. Now, the issue of tax, yes, I'm sure you are aware 2 weeks ago there was an international conference called ID for Africa in Johannesburg. The display of equipment there, they told me is the biggest in the world that has ever happened. They showed us some of the mobile machines that can issue this smart ID card. And the DG said, no, the problem is you can't just acquire them. You've got to go through a supply chain management process. And that's what we are on. So that even in areas, rural areas where you don't have a real office, you can use that. It can give you that smart card, you know. Yes, please watch the space. The Honorable McClure, you also asked about offline, and I've responded to that. The other question, over time, we've also responded to it. Honorable Musa Chawani, the synergy between the Department of Human Rights Commission and Department, of course, it will be a tragedy for any country not to allow a child to get educated, whether it's an undocumented or what. We know the same thing in health. It's very clear. When it comes to children, you don't ask questions. So we'll follow that. I mean, we'll follow that view, that any child who arrives in a particular country, that child must get education. We'll resolve the other issues later, because otherwise, if you are going to have and educated populations around the world because of these rules, we can't allow that. So the issue of reception centers was done. The limitations about what we call trusted travelers, what here is meant is that you don't go through a customs official when there is e-gate. That e-gate machine can recognize you. It can recognize you through the iris when you stand there. In other words, the iris is also a very reliable fingerprint. It can recognize you through your facial, appearance. But you have got to be registered. So not everybody who comes have got such a facility. When they say trusted travelers, there are those who have got such a facility. They arrive there, put their card there, the machine recognizes them and opens up. I've tried it without being registered, and the machine stopped me. And I've seen people going through it because they are classified as trusted because they are registered. I was not registered. It will definitely stop you from coming in. Yeah, you're not trusted. I was not trusted. Yes. Yes. And service delivery, of course, Honorable, the question came from Honorable Kanyile. Capacity of staffing, of course, will always, acting positions will always impact on service delivery. We are aware of that. That's why I started with it and said we have got these problems and this is what we're trying to resolve. Now, the issue of hospitals. In the slides there, they showed you that we have got 391 hospitals where Home Affairs officials are found. That's a very, very small number. Because at the time, I discovered on arrival that Home Affairs officials did not necessarily know which hospitals they must target, but we have solved that problem now. There are about 4,000 health facilities in the country, but only 1,445 can deliver babies. Babies are not delivered in any health facility in the country.
because some cannot. It's 1,145. So we have already discussed with Minister Mkhize, because some of the problems we are asking here about people being undocumented, marriages being fraudulent, kids not being given birth certificate. When we check, I mean, not being given ID to get into school. When we check, the origin is birth. Who? Because some people just appear at the age of 14 and say, I was born here. I want an ID. Yes, we have got. I think there are about 48,000 now who are beyond the age of 14 who are just coming for the first time. Now, Home Affairs officials have got a problem to know whether this is true. So what we think must happen is that no South African must leave a hospital without a birth certificate. So one of the issues we are planning is exactly that. Minister Mkhize is excited about it. We thought to launch it together to make sure that it becomes the responsibility of Home Affairs officials and the hospitals that before you leave there. Because remember, we are no longer issuing a abridged birth certificate. It's unabridged, meaning from the time we are born, we know who are your parents. Even if you're single, you know who gave birth to you, what are their details, etc. They appear there and you go away. Even after 20, 30 years, there won't be a problem when you reappear, because all those, that information will be in Home Affairs. And we think this is a very, very important project for which we want members of Parliament to help us, that every parent must know that they must not leave a hospital without a birth certificate in their hands. It will help in many ways. I'm sure it will also help IEC later on in life. Yes. So they must also try to contribute some money to that in the IEC. Because, yes. yeah. The issue of governing Begi municipality, this is clear misconduct, ma'am. Just give us more details, Honorable Kat. I mean, this is misconduct. How do you say I'm on leave and you leave with the keys of the department? It makes us look very stupid. I mean, you can't say systems. It's just a public servant who doesn't know what they are here for. And I got very angry when you mentioned this. And the officials would say, this thing must be followed up. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. It can't be allowed. Honorable Bambo, this is a very brilliant question. Let me assure you. There is no entity.
Sorry, Minister. I think my name is Vuyani Pambo.
Oh, Pambo. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Next time you speak through me.
My apologies. My apologies, Honorable Pambo. Let me assure you, Honorable Member, there is no other entity except the state that can issue an ID document. I want to assure you. Every ID document, passport you have, birth certificate, etc., is issued by the Department of Home Affairs, and all the records are with Home Affairs. The banks are not issuing. What they are doing, as I said, the banks believe the smart card is extremely safe. It's anti-fraud. As I said, since 2018, we've never met a single case of fraud committed through the smart card. It's very difficult. I know SACS will try, will keep on trying. Maybe they'll still find a way. But for now, they've not yet. So the banks are happy with it. So they want all their clients to have this smart ID card. Now, because we can only issue 3 million per annum, the banks want to come in and help. And what they do is that you fill it online with your bank, and then they call you on a particular day, you make an appointment to take biometrics. Then they send them to Home Affairs, to the backline office there, which checks that everything is normal. Then it goes to the government printing works, the team that is beside there. They are the ones who are going to print it. Then I'll really ask the committee to visit there, because there are miracles happening there, I can assure you. There are very good things happening there. I know that state entities are being questioned, but the government printing works is doing marvelous work. That's why we are in the process of going to try and print documents for our neighboring countries, because the systems there are extraordinary. So they then print it after checking everything, and they send it back to the office where you have applied for it to get it. So the banks are just conduits, because as we said, you have just complained about long queues. You can imagine if everybody having a bank account doesn't have to go to queue in a Home Affairs office, just do it through the bank. It will also relieve this problem of staffing. Some of the banks are even prepared that they do this at their cost, not us. And the simple reason is, they say, but we are going to make me save 50 million.
If I don't help you, I'm still going to lose 50 million anyway. That's why they are interested. But every single ID they issue actually has been issued by us. They just helped us with the logistics. That's all that the banks are doing, Honorable Pambo. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Minister, I welcome the explanation, but I mean, even with that explanation, I'm very suspicious. I'm not sure. You know, it looks like you are admitting that you are unable to process or issue out as many IDs as possible, and you can only issue out annually 3 million, and you should be issuing it out more. But I'm suspicious of having an institution like banks involved in such a very critical part of a citizen's life or information there is. You know, I don't know if I want a bank to process that. But for now, that's all. I'm just trying to say to you that we need to capacitate, obviously, the ministry or the department. I do not think that we should have banks involved at all. It's a worrying thing, at least as far as I'm from where I'm sitting. It may be from a lack of, or rather from a point of ignorance. It may be there might be nothing to it. But just looking at it from a point of security, I do think that it's worrying to have banks involved in the processing of, being somewhere in the line of someone getting an ID. I don't know how you see it. But I think that it's something that I would like you to ponder on. And if there's nothing to it, that's fine. But for now, for me, it's something that needs to be flagged.
Yeah, honorable members, I think the only way to put you at rest is for the committee to actually visit these places and see these systems and see and satisfy yourself whether you think there's any security breach. The banks are just providing comfort and space for people like you who are always on the move, who don't have time to go and queue for many hours there. That's all they are doing. Every other thing is done by us. That document is issued by us. If there is any fraud, they've defrauded bank Home Affairs, not the bank. So, but the only way for you to understand, we will take you to a frontline office of Home Affairs. You see how they process this. We'll take you to the bank. You see how they process this. And lastly, we'll take you to the government printing works to see what they do before they issue any of the ID documents, the passport and all that. And you will make up your own mind whether you think this is correct or not. We are about to host the Ministry of Home Affairs in Namibia because they want that service. They've learned about it. Where were they getting the service previously? They get it in Europe. And we said, no, we have got the service right here at home. Within inside the country, please come here. They are sending a team there because I said, come and inspect and satisfy yourself before you put your signature on the dotted line, whether you think this service is safe or not, or services are only safe in Europe. But I am assuring you that in as far as I'm concerned, no private entity has got the responsibility of issuing an ID or passport. It's Home Affairs, what the banks are doing, is just to facilitate, to make things faster, because not everybody has got a time to go and queue in Home Affairs. In fact, my belief is that even the poor people who have to go and queue, they'll find a shorter queue because most of you who have got bank accounts will no longer have to do that. You'll actually reduce the pressure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. I think we're going to break for lunch for 30 minutes. We'll come back. I'm not sure whether the minister will still have time to be with us, but we'll appreciate if the deputy. Yeah, we'll appreciate if you are around and the deputy minister just to be with us until. Okay. No, thank you. Let's pray for lunch. We'll continue at 2 o'clock sharp. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking like, I don't know if April, do you have the agenda? No? Okay. Do you think after lunch you're just going to do mostly budget stuff?
Yeah, probably.
Is it important or tedious?
No, not really. Because I haven't really checked the agenda, but they might even continue talking about this before they go on to the other thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They may continue a little bit with this before.
Why was it, was there another, they asked a question on, was there another question that was
going to be answered? He kept, sorry. That relevant. But he also kept saying that other people were going to answer.
Well, that's good.
I need to move it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do some that. Yeah. You play chess, so that you play
chess.
It's just, I don't really eat during the day.
Don't eat.
I don't need to be down, need to be down, get like down there, so I don't need to be down there, like, no.
Okay.
But yeah, you can literally have anything there. Yeah. Tell me, please. Do you do it? Oh, the ICBS people. It's D474. It's the, if you go straight down this ramp here, it's on the other side as far as I know. But actually, I think it's on the door. There might be given notice on the door as to where they move to. This is where all of them get to. If they get breakfast, they get lunch and get supper. If they're here, so that's it. And it's always greasy, it's really healthy. There's one committee, I think, that does always healthy, nice healthy supper, and it's very nice. But I can't even remember which one of these things.
And I mean, this is not healthy. 42% sugar.
I saw that and I was like, 4.2, and I held up on. This is cool.
What is it?
Gracias.